good to see all your faces in this cold night tonight. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts tonight. We're going to be in Acts chapter 27. Just want to throw this at you and let you ponder on this for just a moment. Is there anybody that's spoken to your life and you go, man, I should have listened to them? Or you ever speak into somebody's life and you said later on when you told them that you shouldn't do that, and they go out and do it, and later on you go, and you, it's the words that nobody wants to hear. You should have listened to me. You should have listened to me. Listen, tonight, you know, I don't usually say this, but this place, I wish it was packed tonight, because we're talking about something tonight that gets people off track real quick. And that's not listening. Not listening. Doing whatever we want to do. Paul is getting ready to head to Rome. There's a centurion from the regiment, imperial regiment. This guy's not just a centurion. This is a centurion. He comes from the regiment empire. He knows. He's from the Rome area. He works for the big guys. He's going to take Paul to Rome. That's what he's going to do. And he gathers them up, and there's some others in there, and they're going to get on a ship, and they're going to start sailing down the road. They're going to start sailing down across the ocean. All right? Well, I should say the sea, the Adriatic Sea. Anybody ever seen the Adriatic Sea? You seen it? Awesome. It was the first sea I ever seen. Before I saw the Atlantic or the Pacific, I saw the Adriatic Sea. And that thing is cold, even in the summer. We didn't even get in it. It was cold. Paul is heading to Rome. And God says, you're going to go to Rome. You're going to go to Rome. Julius is this centurion leader. He founds a ship, and they're getting ready to set sail. Let's pick it up in Acts chapter 27. We'll start here in verse 9. Much time had been lost, and sailing has already become dangerous, because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them. Seas and everything wasn't working for them. Seasons beginning to change. Paul is going to give a warning. Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. So what we have here, I usually don't use maps, but I am tonight. And, of course, my battery is shot. All right, well, it's the way it is. You know, it's cheaper to buy those whole than to buy the batteries. So it's going in the garbage. All right. So as you see over here, right there, you see around number 3, they're sailing through there, and they've already been to Myrna. They're doing this thing. They picked up an Alexander ship, which is a little bit bigger ship. Okay? Thank you. So they're running over here, and they're getting ready to hit this. They're in this Fair Havens area, okay? Now, what we see here is a lot is going on. So Paul is telling them, we should not go forward. We need to not do this. I want to give you a couple of principles, things that I've kind of come up with a little bit about how to listen to people, how not to listen to certain people. I just want to give you a couple of those before you move on, because Paul is speaking to this centurion, and the centurion is going to listen to different voices. All right? Number one, we need to be careful who we let speak into our lives. You guys hear me say it. You need to be careful who you let speak into your eyes, to your lives. Don't trust every voice. Okay? I don't know if you write things down, but there's some good ones here. Here's a big one. Not every Christian gives good advice. Not every Christian gives good advice. Okay? Some give advice out of emotion. Some give it out of anger. Some even give it out of sin. And there's all kinds of other things we can mention. But not every Christian gives the best advice. Number three, listen to people, but have discernment. You need to listen to people, but have discernment. Now listen, you don't have to have the spiritual gift of discernment to have discernment. Everybody has some discernment. And as a believer, you have good discernment. We're not talking about the spiritual gift, but every believer should have good, godly discernment. Okay? If a voice tells you to move forward into the area of sin, that should be an automatic no. Don't get caught up. You're being tempted and you don't even realize it. Don't get caught up with that web. It will not work out. There is worldly wisdom. Number five, there is worldly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. All right? So we're battling two different, you can call it flesh wisdom, whatever you want to call it. But there is a worldly type of wisdom and there is a spiritual type of wisdom. Okay? The world wisdom is whatever feels good. Whatever seems to be right. And it seems like the only wrong to the worldly wisdom is when you say something is wrong morally. But spiritual wisdom is where we obey the Word of God and we obey the Holy Spirit. That takes time for us to listen. We have to listen. Number six, just because someone is an expert doesn't mean they override the Holy Spirit or God's Word. This centurion, even though they're not believers, he listens to the ship owner and the captain. And Paul's just one voice. Number seven, I'll give you the last one here on these just real quick points. The majority doesn't mean they're right. Most of the time, majority is wrong. Okay? And the majority said, hey, let's get out of here. The majority says, hey, let's go on. The majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix. Now, pay attention here. Fairhavens is where they picked. Here, Fairhavens is where they are. Phoenix is just around the corner. You see it? Okay? But verse 14 says, before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeastern swept down from the island, and the ship was caught up in a storm. They don't make it to Phoenix. They don't, but listen, so many of us have a plan right now in life. You have a plan. You're over here in number one where it says Jerusalem. You're over there, and you have a plan to get to Rome in your life, wherever you're trying to get to. And you're trying to go on the course you want to. And when you don't listen to the Lord, let me tell you, you're going down the wrong course and you are going to get yourself into a storm. You're going to be off course. And let me tell you, when you're off course with God, you get out there pretty far. And it takes you very quickly. And what we find out here is they're out there and everything is falling apart. They can't even get the lifeboats out. They're in a mess. Verse 20 says, it's so bad, it says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. They gave up. They gave up. This is what people do in life. They give up. Just because they get in front of a storm and they're going through a storm, they give up. Now, let me tell you, the sun shines on the just and the unjust, rain falls on the just and the unjust. We are all going to find ourselves in storms of life because we live here and we live in this world. But I will tell you, we even as believers are going to find ourselves into some storms. But also know this, if we would follow the ways of the Lord, we wouldn't be in so many of those storms. Does that make sense? We wouldn't find ourselves out here drifting out here off course. Let me tell you, there's a lot of Christians right now that are drifting off course. Still trying to fight the waves. Still trying to go against the current. And they've given up hope. You know what most people do when they give up hope, right? It's like this one guy who was swimming across. He said, I'm going to get to the cross. I want to get to the other side of the lake. He gets halfway, he gets tired. He says, I think I'm going to turn around. And he turns around and comes back. So many people can get halfway there and they turn around and they turn around and they quit. But they're in the storm. Verse 21, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, here we go. You should have taken my advice." That's not what they wanted to hear. That's not what you want to hear. When I have you, if you and I are in a conversation, and there's a time when I might give you advice or I might receive advice, here it is. That's not what you want to hear. You should have listened to me. It burns you up. You should have listened to me. You know, there's about 25, 30 people in this church I want to say that to right now. You should be listening. You should have listened. You should have listened. How many people on this voyage you think said, "Oh, I shouldn't even have came on this voyage"? It's kind of like the Titanic here. People start off and they get their ticket and they think, "I'm going to go on a great, great, great tour." But he says, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss." He's speaking to this where? He's not in Fair Havens. He's not. He's out in the middle of nowhere. Out in the middle of that Mediterranean Adriatic Sea. He's all up in there. He's over there by that number 6 up in that area. They're in a bad place. This is what happens when we don't listen to God. This is what happens when we don't obey the Lord. This is what happens when we don't abide by the Holy Spirit. We're going to find ourselves adrift into a storm. And it can be long. This one's long. This one is a long storm. But I do know this, in storms, there's still hope with God. With God, there is still hope. He says, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and the God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" We got to run aground. Listen, sometimes when Christians give news, sometimes people don't want to hear it. But when you're out in the middle of nowhere, sometimes any news can be good news. And so they're out there and they're struggling, but there's this moment of confidence and encouragement. Now, who gets encouraged by the Lord before anyone else? Men of God, women of God, people of God. They understand. He understands this. He understands the encouragement that God gave to Paul. Now, Paul is sharing that encouragement. Not everybody takes the wisdom and the encouragement that God offers. But he gives it. Now, they've been out there for a couple of weeks now, and this thing is raging. Now, I don't know if any of you ever been out there in the water. You ever got seasick? It don't stop. You might get your sea legs, but it's just, you're just out there in a storm day and night after night and day after day. It's just up and down. It's all over the place. Can't even sleep, really. You almost probably want to think, this is be done and sink this thing. That's what some of our lives are like. Yet you're willing to sit there and float out in a storm, yet still not turn to God. You'd rather float out there in the darkness and the storms of life and still not want to turn to God. Or still think that you're in control. And let me tell you this, nobody can control a storm. No one can control a storm. And he says in verse 29, "Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. What? Mr. Julius is now paying attention to what Paul has to say. Some soldiers wanted to sneak off and said, we're going on our own way. Paul says, see him over here? Julius, see him over here? If they go, we're all going. Julius says, get some, and they cut it and let the lifeboat go on. He didn't listen before. Let me tell you, when you are living your life in a storm as a believer, people are watching. They're watching how you are going to react in the storm. And what we see here is everybody is trying to figure out, that says that all hope is gone. But God speaks to an angel, speaks to Paul. Paul gets up and gives him encouragement, even in the midst of the storm. And this Julius begins to pay attention. Now, there is scripture. We never know if this man comes to the Lord, but I would think that he might be thinking about God right now. I think all of them might be thinking a little bit about God. It's funny when you're in the storm how you start to pray, and maybe you've never prayed. It's funny how people will pray only in the storm. But in the storm, people pray. People pray in a storm. And the sad part is, people live their whole life. Some people live their whole life in a storm. And they're just adrift their whole life. 20, 30, 40 years in the storm. It is amazing what people will do to fight God. But they're in a storm. And they made an attempt to get it, to let go of the boat. And Julius stops him. The centurion leader stops him. But just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. I love this piece here. We're in the storm. We got to eat. It's been 2 weeks, guys. We got to eat. We got to keep up our strength. We have to do that. Pay attention here. Who's becoming the leader? Who is becoming the leader of the ship? Paul. God loves to use his children. He brings up some great leaders. You all know who those leaders are. David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the most lowest moments, God rises them up to be awesome leaders. And people begin to follow. And we see that everyone's looking to Paul for leadership. But Paul doesn't take leadership in a way that the world takes leadership. What does he do? He says, for the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. If anybody and them that are believing in Paul, that was an encouraging word. Because they're thinking, Paul is special, and Paul is special. Did you know every one of you are special? If you have a relationship with Christ, you are special. Even if you don't have a relationship with God, you're special, but not like those who are God's children. God will use God's children. Here he is. When they speak, God opens hearts so much. And he says, after he said this, here's what he did. He took some bread, and he gave thanks to God in front of everyone, in front of all of them. He prayed and gave thanks. Nobody was bucking that prayer. He's in charge. He says, here's some bread. We need to do this. And they began to, they listened to him pray with the storm around him. If there was any peace at this time, even in the storm, they found this moment of peace. And it was during prayer and thanksgiving to God. Let me tell you, no matter what kind of storm you're in, there is room to thank God. You need to find moments in your storm where you can step aside and thank God. Give praise to God because he's worthy even in the storm, not just in the moments of awesomeness and victories. And Paul does just that. And it says this in verse 36, they were all encouraged. They were all encouraged. The prayer and the food was an encouragement to all of them. And it says, together there were 276 of us on board. Think about it. The number one prisoner becomes the leader of a sinking ship in a storm. And if there was no storm, he would not have become the leader. God uses storms to raise up his people. Because in those moments, God still gets glory in those moments, but will not get glory from the world, but will still get glory from God and praises from his people, even in the storms. And we see that right here. All were encouraged and they ate some food. Altogether, there were 276 on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. This is our last meal. We're throwing it off. We're in this thing, all or nothing. But everybody's looking at Paul. Let me tell you, when people are in a storm, so many people are looking right at you. Because you might be the only Christian they know. And they want to. They may not want to talk to you about their storm, but you see it and they're watching you. And especially when you're in a storm, they're watching you. They're watching you. Can I just share a couple of storms with you real quick? I'm not trying to bust anybody out. I'm not going to talk about your personal storm, but I know Jeremy went through a storm, and where was he? He was in the church house worshiping God. Barbara was going through a personal storm. She found herself in the house of God, worshiping and still giving thanks to God. And God blesses that. And that's an encouragement to everyone else in the house when they see that someone's going through a storm. And as much as sometimes you want to help somebody in a storm, sometimes you just have to step back and let them go through it. But you can pray for them and encourage them, but not get all up in their business. There's something that sometimes that God has to work with that individual or that family, and they go through that. But I'm going to tell you, when people live like that and they show their life with God through that and they keep worshiping, they keep doing those things, I'm telling you, it encourages the rest of the family of God. Storms are not, God does not waste a storm. Praise the Lord for that. He does not waste a storm. Now, sometimes it may look very dreary, and it may seem like there's no sun. Where is the sun? After 2 weeks, I'm telling you, when the sun probably popped out, their eyes were all like, it's pretty bright out here. But they're coming closer to the end. But there's still going to be some people that's going to be a little stubborn. You see? They've come from Fair Havens. They're coming all the way across a couple of weeks there and even more time. Now they're getting ready to hit this place called Malta, but they don't know it yet. They don't know it. That was not a place they were planning on stopping. That was not a place that was on their journey map. It was not a place where they were planning on stopping. But God can take something. He could take a storm and turn it into a good purpose. But he says in verse 41, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. Oh my goodness, sandbar. That means they knew they were close somewhere to land. And they hit it. And if a ship hits a sandbar, it's pretty much done. And the bow struck fast and would not move. And the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent them for many of them from swimming away and escaping. And once again, from last week's message, and is what we find out is if a soldier would lose a prisoner in the Roman Empire, that soldier's life was to take place, and he had to give up his life for the prisoner that escaped. They're thinking, oh my, we can't let these guys escape, so we need to put them all to death. So the soldiers plan on killing all the prisoners. And guess who's one of those prisoners? Paul. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. So God even moved upon the centurion. And there was a relate. Listen, if you go back to the beginning, that centurion, decent, but he knew Paul was a prisoner. They were like this. But as they got through that storm, it draws people closer. You know, when a husband and wife are struggling with some things in their marriage, something happened in their whatever, and they know they're going to stay together, but something's happened, or they lost someone, or whatever, it draws them closer. when one of them loses their parent, we have a loss, you go through it, it draws you closer. And it's drawing him closer. And so the centurion did not allow that to happen. So Paul's life was spared along with everyone else. And he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest were to get there on planks, for those who couldn't swim, on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached the land safely. Isn't that what Paul said? That we would not lose one? Yep. And we would run aground on some island? Yep. You don't think that centurion was like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. Listen, there's no side things. There, you know, on this ship, there was one thing I believe that was going on more than any. They were all thinking, am I going to see my wife again? Am I going to see my family again? We're all going to die. Oh my gosh, are we ever going to make it? They're all thinking important things. They were thinking, you know, when you're going through a storm, you think about important things. They're thinking about important things. And I think the centurion was thinking about all the things that Paul said. This was going to happen. Oh yeah, I should have listened to that one. But this is going to happen. It did. That was going to happen. It did. And that was going to happen. And it did. And then chapter 28, verse 1 says this. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. And the angel said, you will land on an island. If all you've got to hang on is God's word, you're hanging on to anything. You're hanging on to anything better else in the world. God's word is solid. God's word is real. God's word is a promise. And God does not break his promises. I look at this, when I looked at this map, the reason I have it is I wanted to show you the map of what it looked like on this journey. Sometimes when you're taking a journey in life, that when you don't listen to God, you end up on a different part. And there's a storm out there. The storm's already there. You're just heading into it. But I look at it and I go, yeah, they finally landed over here in Malta, and then they're going to end up in Rome. But some great things happen in Malta. God does some miraculous things. Paul does amazing things. In fact, they were all falling down. A lot of the people that lived there were saying, "God, Paul's a god." And Paul had to straighten him up quite a bit there. But I look at it today and I go, Paul and them, they made it safely. But I look in my heart and I look at New Life and I go, how many people do we have still floating out here in the storm? Because they won't listen. I remember somebody used to sit right there. They're in a personal storm. But they choose to keep swirling in the mist. There's a few that sit back here. And they refuse to listen to God's word and obey it. And they're still in the storm. There's several faces that I don't see tonight because they're still swarming around out here where they're not supposed to be. Thinking they got a better plan. Let me tell you, and I don't mean to be ugly, you're not that smart. And I'm not either. Can I tell you what it's like to be out there in that storm? I know what it's like. I've been out there for about 3 years. Not 2 weeks, about 3 years. I don't feel at peace with God. I didn't feel at peace with God. My decision-making choices were not very good. The consequences of it were higher than it should have been if I was a Christian. But yeah, I'm a Christian, so consequences were pretty bad in some cases. I remember being out there. I wasn't effective for the Lord. My prayers were, it always seemed like it always was when I was in the storm or when something was happening. But I will tell you this, I knew there was always a hope. I just didn't reach out and grab it when I knew I should have grabbed it because I thought I could steer that ship. And I thought I owned the ship. And I found out that I didn't own any ship. And I surely can't captain my own life. Then I had to land on an island too. And I had to let all that other stuff go. You know, the ship was done. It had to be shipwrecked. There's some things in our life that need to be shipwrecked. And we just need to let it sink. Because God has a plan. For Paul was to get to Rome. He had to go through a few ships. I am so glad today that that stuff is shipwrecked. Sunk in some ocean of life back in the day. That when I talk to God, He reminds me that it's not even there. When I get thoughts from the dark side to bring up something from the past, God, the Holy Spirit reminds me, it's not there, Jimmy. When you sought me and you asked for forgiveness, I forgave it. And I cast it as far as the east from the west and remembered it no more. It's gone. It's sunk. It's out of there. Don't go back. The sad part is so many people circle back to the same old storm. Still thinking they can control it. And a storm is this. A storm wrecks things. A storm wrecks lives and destroys things. But yet we're the captain of the ship. I've got it. You've got nothing. Because you can't control it. And if you could, you wouldn't be in the storm you're in. Storms are filled with lies, self-deceit, false promises. Defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat, and a loss of hope. Where are you at in your journey with God? Maybe tonight this is the island of Malta. I don't know. And you need to shipwreck something in your life, and you need to come before the Lord. What's it say? Once safely on the shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. Safely on the shore. In jeopardy on the ship. We had to lose the ship to get to safety. Sometimes what God is doing may not make sense. But it's not for us to figure out if it makes sense. It's for us to obey and to listen. Father, as we close out this message, we open up this altar to you tonight that you may use your spirit in a way that only you can. And receive those that need you tonight. For it's in Christ's name. Amen.